Good morning. Let's pray before we start. Father, we thank you for your word and how your word can guide our lives. So we pray for a fresh insight this morning to your word, and that we would be challenged and we would be changed. Amen. So last week, Martin shared at both of the morning services about the vision for the church for the coming year. And if you weren't here, then I strongly advise you to listen in on the website or get a copy of it from Martin. I was in the youth last week, but I've caught up. So that's not to sound smug, but it was a really good listen. And it's great to know where we're going as a church, and it's really important to know that. And it's a really exciting year for our church. It's our 50th birthday this June, 50 years of the church building being here. You know, we've got our new entrance up and running. So we're sort of entering into a new season as a church family, and it's really exciting. And a few weeks ago, Martin asked me if I would put together a business plan for the new building and think about how we can be using it for our community. And the plan at the moment is in the process of going through the PCC and the church leadership. So absolutely nothing is set in stone just yet. That's a bit of a disclaimer. But Martin's asked me to come and share the vision behind the plan with you this morning. And I want, and that's the thing I want to do, is I want to share the vision rather than the boring finer details. So we're going to have a look at this scripture of John 4 to help outline our vision. So what we have in the story that we've just heard is Jesus meeting with a woman who was a social outcast at the well of Jacob. She'd come at the middle of the day when all the other women had gone because she didn't want to have to talk to anybody. And Jesus tells her about the living water which he can offer her. But what Jesus doesn't do, he doesn't go straight in with a sales pitch as soon as he claps eyes on her. I don't know about you, but one of my pet hates is when somebody stops you on the street to sell you something or to get you to sign up for something. I just can't abide it. It's sort of, I try and keep my head down. If I see one, I try and keep my head down, dive into a shop, or do whatever I can to avoid it. When I lived in Cheltenham, there was a plot of about six of them, and they'd all wait outside a shopping centre, and you'd sort of see them coming up, and you'd sort of think, how am I going to get past them? Am I going to dodge all six this morning? And it gets quite an art form, you know. But I think, you know, they always stop you saying, excuse me, madam, can I just ask you for a few minutes of your time? And it's like, oh, no. And I think if Jesus was around in this day and age, based on this story, I don't think he'd be one of those people on the street trying to stop people for a few minutes of their time to tell them about something, about the living water. You know, I don't see him so they're saying, sorry, madam, can I just stop you there for a minute? I can see you've got some water there, very heavy. Can I tell you about the living water? You know, he's not that kind of person. I don't think that's the way he would have gone about it. So he doesn't try and sell the Samaritan woman anything. He doesn't give her the sales patter as soon as he meets her. What he does is he asks her for a drink. And by asking her for a drink, he firstly strikes up a conversation with her, which firstly grabs her attention because Jews don't associate with Samaritan women. Particularly Jewish men would certainly not associate with Samaritan women. She would have been expecting to be completely ignored. And secondly, what this does is he's actually asking her for something. He's not trying to sell her anything. He's putting himself at her level. At that moment, they're both two people needing water. In fact, if anything, she's slightly got the upper hand. She's in control of whether he gets a drink or not. And then he says to her, actually, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. And this puzzles her, and she points this out. She says, well, you've got no bucket to draw water with, so I don't see how you're going to give me a drink. And then he tells her about the living water, a water which never runs out, a water which springs up inside, welling up to eternal life. And she's interested. This water sounds great. She wants some of it. And then Jesus talks to her about her life. He asks her, first of all, to go and fetch her husband, at which point she admits that she hasn't got one. And then Jesus starts to tell her about her life. He says, yeah, I know, you've had five husbands and the man you're with currently isn't your husband. But he doesn't say this in a judgmental way. He doesn't point the finger at her or tell her that actually, sorry, the living water isn't for the likes of you then in that case. He merely states the facts. In fact, and I think he does it in a nice way, he tells her that she's right. You're right when you say you have no husband. We all love to be right, don't we? So, you know, she thought, you're right, I am, great. And, you know, and I think if he'd said it in a horrible way, we could read it either way, we don't know, we weren't there, but I think if he'd said it in a horrible way, she'd have shut down and gone. I don't have to listen to this, you know, like they do on EastEnders. I'm going, I don't have to talk to you. But, you know, he tells her in a nice way. He's like, you know, actually, yeah, you don't have a husband. You have, you know, the man you're with now isn't. You're quite right. So, and it gives her a bit of a boost. And then he tells her who he is. And then she goes and tells everyone that she meets about him, leaving a jar of water behind. Suddenly her physical need for water doesn't matter in comparison to her need, her thirst for the living water. And what we want to do as a church is we want to introduce people to the source of living water. The living water which promises eternal life. The living water which doesn't run dry. So, how are we going to do that? So, if we work using the model that Jesus lays out in John 4, then what we first need to do is meet the physical needs of the people. So Jesus met the Samaritan woman as she was meeting a physical need, the need that she had for water. And there are lots of physical needs in our community. And Martin shared last week the results of the questionnaire that we've been doing, where we've been asking people, you know, what would you like in our community? And people have physical needs. They want cookery classes. They'd like activities for their children. They would like someone who... To listen to them, they're a listening service, they want company and friendship, they want to be able to keep fit. There's all sorts of needs that our community has, physical needs and practical needs. And when we meet their physical needs, then we can begin to meet their spiritual ones, their need, their thirst for the living water. And we do that by building up relationships, by us being a presence. When we open up those doors for whatever event or group that we're running, we're making the church accessible to the people. And when I say the church, I don't mean the building. I mean us, the people. We are the church. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting, in fact, I'm definitely not suggesting, that if we were to run a coffee morning, that as soon as somebody sits down with their cup of coffee and their slice of chocolate cake, that we pounce on them and sit opposite them and say, hey, can I tell you all about the living water? Because the thing they'll do is they'll go and talk to their friends, like the Samaritan woman did, but they'll say, don't go there, they're weird and scary. And they'll run away, they'll run a mile. So what we want to do is we want to build a relationship with people, get to know people, and as we meet their physical need, begin to meet their spiritual needs. We want to give people who are lonely company and friendship. We want to give parents who are struggling reassurance and some headspace. We want to give people who are anxious somebody who will listen to them. We want our community to recognise that our church is a place which can meet their needs. So the idea is, which is all still to be firmed up, we want to use our new kitchen servery to its potential. But what we're not going to do is just open up a coffee shop. Because if we just open up a coffee shop, then we're no different to Costa Coffee or Starbucks or Cafe Nero or the Garden Centre. There's plenty of coffee shops in the vicinity where people can just go and get a cup of coffee and nothing more. We want to do so much more than that. So we're going to use coffee shop facilities, but use them as we put on various events and groups. So the aim is to have coffee mornings a bit like what we had before, but hopefully have more of them, and maybe have things like board games or puzzles where people can actually interact with one another and join in things. We're hoping to do a craftenoon tea, which is craft and afternoon tea. Are you coming to that, Phil? You sound very excited by that. Craft, so you do craft and afternoon tea. I mean, it's the best of both worlds, as long as you don't get crumbs on your knitting. And we can do things like community projects, like knitting for the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, which go out at Christmas. So things that people can actually join in with together. We hope to do something like a craft morning for parents and children to come to during term time. We hope to run an early bird session where parents who've dropped off the children at school can come and have breakfast before they go home and face, you know, the devastation that's left there after trying to get everyone to school, you know, just have a bit of breathing space. Little Fishes are going to be using the space, which is the mums and babies group. Alpha's going to be run on a Sunday morning. So there's lots of different ideas, and hopefully we're going to have lots going on. But the idea very much behind all of this is it isn't one or two people trying to run all this. This is our building, our space, and it's our collective responsibility to see it put to use in the building of the kingdom. And we all need to work together to see that happen. We'll need volunteers to help serve at these events. We'll need people to come and be punters at the events and come and be a presence. And I know some of you right now, as soon as I said we'll need some help, have kind of switched off a bit thinking, I've got a full-time job, I've got plenty to do, I won't be able to spare any time. But actually, you know, you guys are our publicity team. You're out in the community during the week doing your various jobs. You know, say to that mum who's about to go on maternity leave at work, hey, there's a great baby group at Church of Holy Spirit. You know, say to your neighbour who's on their own, why don't you go down to one of the coffee mornings? Share a post on Facebook, if you have Facebook. You know, that takes like 2 seconds and it gets the word out. That's just as important a role as it is to come and be one of the people serving coffee. There's a role for everybody. And we all need to take ownership of this. And I just want to finish by going back to the whole idea of the living water. So there have been many prophecies regarding our church and the new entrance with regard to water. There's been lots of scripture verses coming up. I think it was Tracy, who's Marilyn Baker's friend, came and talked about sort of it being like a living water. There's lots of different things that have just been popping up along the building, along the time where we've been building. And that's what we really want to do, is introduce people to the living water. I think it's slightly ironic that Aylesbury is one of the furthest points you can be from the sea. But, you know, that doesn't matter because we've got the living water. And it says in John 7 from verse 37 that Jesus says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And we're the church of the Holy Spirit, which is the living water. And we want to introduce people to the source of living water, Jesus. And so that's a name we're considering. We were thinking about calling it the source, because we want to be a source for our community, for their physical needs as well as their spiritual ones. And we want to introduce them to the source of living water. But also we recognise that we ourselves need to be resourced by God, trusting that in him, as we step out of our comfort zone, as we open up the doors, he will meet our needs. He will source us. And that the living water will spring up from inside of us. So that's the vision. If you've got any questions, I am around afterwards. I may or may not be able to answer them because it is all still slightly up in the air. But I'm excited, and I hope you are as well. So, yeah, that's all from me this morning.